This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Is it just me, or has our society cured all the truly important diseases in life? Yes, AIDS, poverty, and the broken heart still await a savior to claim his or her fortune with a cure, but most of society's true illnesses have seemingly been remedied. Vesicare may not cure cancer, but it can make the 17 million men and women with bladder problems feel better. Frequent sudden urges to tinkle can now be lightened with a simple pill. Of course, this modern medication, on which hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent in research, may cause a serious allergic reaction or severe abdominal pain. But if you're willing to tolerate the possibility of constipation, blurred vision, indigestion, or a dried mouth, at least your bladder may feel better. I just find it annoying that more money is spent advertising these marvels of the pharmaceutical industry than is raised for the more fatal illnesses. Have you ever heard of restless leg syndrome? No, it's not something from which most five-year-old boys suffer. It's an actual disease, RLS, for which Requip has been invented. Do you dread long business trips, going to the movies, or traveling on an airplane because you know your restless legs won't let you sit still? You'll just have to get up to relieve your discomfort, disturbing your work colleagues, other moviegoers, and fellow passengers. And RLS affects 1 in 10 Americans, although far fewer worldwide have been convinced they have this problem. But then, maybe they just decided the restless legs were easier to tolerate than the possible dizziness, excessive sweat, or potential vomiting as a side effect. Talk about disturbing those around you. And don't get me wrong, I realize that some easily curable conditions need scientific attention. After all, you can't give up the home runs by overlooking the singles and the doubles. But can't we do better than heartburn medication whose side effects include diarrhea and abdominal pain? Really, if that's the trade-off, then why bother? And as a single male from a Protestant faith, I'm all for birth control. If women can have the option of a new once-a-month contraception, then that's great. And for birth control, I can even envision making the decision to tolerate the possible side effect of nausea. But headaches? I thought the point of birth control was to be able to have sex, not provide excuses to avoid it. The drug industry is full of new medications, from pills that help you sleep to liquids that keep you awake. There are tablets that women should never touch for fear of causing pregnancy problems, to capsules for men that may cause swelling and tenderness of the breast. But aside from the dissatisfaction I have in us accepting body-damaging chemotherapy for others in a similar manner to drug-induced sleep for ourselves, oh, it'll all be okay in the morning. I'm most concerned about our willingness to join the promotional drug company club, getting your daily horoscope and trading interactive e-cards as though this was the new way to support the Jerry Lewis telethon. I think that our daily television and magazine ads show us where the focus of our pharmaceutical companies lies, making sure we will be able to be excited about something for at least 4 hours. Sunday in February, boys and girls, the 26th, although my watch still says the 25th, but it's had a little water damage problem. And here we are today for what hopefully will be, what Stu says will be a perfect show with little problem. And I'm counting on his foresight and vision as he gives me a sign known around the world. We are going to talk about the controversy surrounding a potential ban on smoking in public places. Today, I'm going to be one of the guests. I'm going to represent area residents who do not smoke, although I'll try and play a little moderator as well. Lisa McCade, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Lisa is our area resident smoker. You have a big group to represent.
Yep.
And I'm sure Philip Morris and RJR thank you as well. We also have Andy McClure, who is a restaurant owner.
Hello, how's it going?
Fine. You and your brother own the Virginian?
The Virginian and West Main.
West Main.
333 West Main Street. Shameless plug.
And to me, and we'll get into this a little bit, I think that the two of them are somewhat, or at least to me, they're different in the sense that the Virginian, while being, certainly it is a restaurant, in fact, I think Virginia law nearly requires that from anybody with an alcohol license.
It does.
It is much more of a bar and individual area, you know, a lot of students, et cetera, come down to the corner for that. While to me, West Main has a little more of a family feel to it than the Virginian might.
I wouldn't disagree with that, other than saying that the Virginian has excellent food and many people go there to dine. But I understand your point that it is a bar and grill, probably more so because it's next to the university.
I can just see more 5- and 6-year-olds at West Main than I can see at the Virginian.
I would agree. All right. But we have smokers at both.
And that's part of the conversation for today. All right. One of the things that we're going to jump into is now the state of Virginia recently had a bill put forth to ban smoking in all public areas. It did pass a Senate group and was sent over to the House. It passed the Senate group by a very small margin and was sent over to the House of Representatives and a small House committee of 6, I believe, unanimously overturned it. You know, is this something that we need to be discussing at all, I guess, is there a need to ban smoking in all public areas, in some public areas? You know, before the show started, the two of you went outside for a cigarette because here inside the station, that's, you know, we don't allow smoking inside the station. It's probably as much for fear, Mike Friend, afraid we're going to burn some important technical device as any other reason. But, you know, how do you, let's jump in. How do the two of you feel about that?
About going outside?
Yeah.
I think it's appropriate for this situation. And whoever owns the station, it's a small area in here, and I don't work here, so I have no problem going outside. If I worked here and was very into smoking, maybe I would talk to somebody about smoking while on the air, or else I just wouldn't work here.
Well, I think the point that she's making is excellent. She doesn't work here. And any smoker who works here has to abide by the rules of the owner of the business, in my opinion. I think too often we rely on the government to take responsibility for us. And so I would ask you, as the host of this show, who does not smoke, you choose to work here. It is your choice. And you choose to work in this environment. And in the environment that's created, you have to ask yourself, is it something that I want to do? Do I want to be around smoke? Do I want to be around coffee? Do I want to be around electronics? There are all kinds of things that we make, you know, there are all kinds of decisions that we make for ourselves. And I think the consumer is the one that should decide whether restaurants should be non-smoking or smoking. There are very many non-smoking restaurants in Charlottesville right now. They choose to be that way, and they do very well because of that.
And I guess it seems to me that that's really one of the major issues at hand. Is this a health issue, you know, secondhand smoke, et cetera, or is this a government intervention issue?
I think that the proponents of the legislation, people that would like to see smoking banned, put a mask on it that it's about health. But if you do a lot of research and study some of the actual numbers about secondhand smoke, I think it's a little bit exaggerated. But I think it's about freedom and personal rights. And if somebody owns a bar, should the government be able to tell them that there's no smoking there? I don't agree with that at all.
And, you know, we get into a sticky situation when we talk about something like that, because the government does have, I think, a certain responsibility when it comes to public health. I think, as you mentioned in your introduction, certain drugs that pharmaceutical companies were bringing, you know, to the public, and risks were unknown. And I think the government does have a responsibility to give us the information. And that's really the issue we're talking about. There is no one, I think, in this country that does not know that smoking is bad. I think everybody knows that smoking can kill. I don't think any smoker isn't making a conscious decision at this point. And so the public should be able to say to themselves, this is bad for me. I do not want this. I'm not going to go in there. And let's be honest. If the consumers said that, every bar in America would be non-smoker. There is no doubt about that. Bar owners are not trying to push their own, you know, personal feelings and opinions on the public. They're in business, and they're going to give the consumer what they want. So if we want to talk about stuff that's bad for you, we can take it to all kinds of levels. We can talk about French fries. We can talk about music being too loud. It'll hurt your ears. There are all kinds of things that we could ban to protect the public. So I say, if we're going to ban smoking, let's go all the way. Let's ban everything. Let's make Nerf sidewalks if we can.
Yeah, but when you talk about French fries, I'm assuming that you're talking about the grease, et cetera, and the fatty byproducts.
There are all kinds of studies coming out now that say French fries are cancer-causing, have carcinogens in them.
Right, but with you eating a bag of French fries next to me, that's not actually hurting my own personal health.
Well, I think there are many people that would disagree with that. I think there are many people that would say that the advertising we have on TV, you know, billboards everywhere pushing, you know, greasy, fattening products are creating a society where we have, you know, numerous, you know, I don't know the percentage right off the top of my head, but, you know, we have an obesity problem in America. We have a, you know, heart disease problem. There are all kinds of, you know, cardiovascular issues. And, you know, if we're going to ban something like smoking, if we're going to ban, you know, all kinds of things, I mean, I think this is something we need to look at. We need to look at, you know, how far are we willing to go to protect the public?
Let's jump back to the issue about personal responsibility to avoid, to make your conscious decisions on smoking or not smoking, and I assume that that carries over to avoid smoke and people who do smoke. What about in your business, and so let's jump in and take this from the business owner's perspective first, what about your employees and your staff? And granted, Charlottesville has a relatively low unemployment rate. So I'm assuming that one of your answers would be, in a more polite way, you could go work somewhere else. But I would also say that in a lot of other areas around the state and in the country, those options just aren't out there.
Well, that may be true. I, you know, yes, I would be as polite as possible. Our employees are very important to us, and we try to create the most safe environment possible. And I think we do a very good job at that. But once again, I think if you, I mean, you really can take all of these issues and put them, you know, on the next level, which is, you know, let's look at the most dangerous jobs in America. Let's look at coal mining, things like that. Should we ban those sorts of jobs because people could die in them? People still have a responsibility to say, you know, this is the sort of thing that I want to do. There are, once again, many restaurants in Charlottesville that are non-smoking and, you know, people can work there. I think when people come into a restaurant, they're looking for many different factors. They're weighing pros and cons, and they're making a conscious choice. Yes, you have a point that options can be limited in certain places, but there are certainly more dangerous jobs than working in a restaurant because of the secondhand smoke. You know?
I know, as somebody who managed and worked in restaurants for a large chunk of my life, I could throw out a few telltale stories.
Sure, we can
about
share
that. feel free to dial us up. Stu's working the phone lines today. He'll be glad to patch you through. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's 1-877-967-6762. That's toll-free, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Those a little closer, 979-0919. As we talk about the possibility of banning smoking in public areas, with area resident Lisa McCade and restaurant owner Andy McClure, I'd like to talk for a few minutes about private rights versus public rights. We've touched on it in a very tangential way public rights or private rights, I guess, being to make your own decisions about what to do, where to go, what jobs to carry. But public rights about scientific studies tell us that secondhand smoke is dangerous. And I know that you're going to find somebody out there who's going to call in and say, those are bull. And, you know, there's some guy in Sweden who's got a study that says it's not true. But they don't work for pharmaceutical reps. They work for RJR.
Right.
And so do we have public rights to be concerned about? And it's not just restaurants. We can find, we can name other businesses and other buildings where smoking is allowed that you need to go to. Is that a concern for anyone?
I can't think of many places besides restaurant and bars that you consider a workplace where smoking is going on. In general, I mean, you can't smoke in any government buildings. Most of the companies that I've worked for in the private industry, there's definitely no smoking. Everyone was outside. The thing is, you know, restaurants and bars, not to totally focus on them, they're not just workplaces. It's a little different than an office. People come to a restaurant, to a bar to drink, eat, smoke. You know, it's social gathering. And because a minority of people may be bothered by the secondhand smoke, it just doesn't seem right to me to take away the rights of all the other people. It just seems the government is just trying to mandate, you know, our health, where you really do have a lot of choices. I mean, at least in Charlottesville, you have plenty, probably more places to go that are non-smoking, really, especially at lunchtime, than are smoking. I know that I worked on the mall for a long time, and Zocalo's been very successful with their non-smoking policies.
Plug,
yeah.
Yeah, but it just doesn't seem right that the government's the one that makes the decision.
Well, I think what you guys just said, the thing we need to make clear is you talked about places you had to go. If you're talking about going to the DMV, for example, you have to go in there to get a license. I think it's, you know, you reach a point where you say if everyone has to do this, then, yeah, we can take extra steps to make sure that they're in a safe environment and that, you know, it's as clean as possible and things like that. But I think, you know, oftentimes we forget that, you know, restaurants and bars are not public like the DMV. They are owned by private, you know, corporations or people such as myself and my brother. They're only public in the sense that the government, you know, sort of classifies them in that way. You still have, you know, they're not private clubs, but I mean, you still have to, you know, kick someone out, for example, if they've been drinking too much. I mean, there are all kinds of things that can pop up where you are sort of the master of your restaurant, of your business. You decide what goes on in there, for the most part. But I think, you know, using the DMV as an example, using, you know, hospital or something like that, there are all kinds of situations where, you know, the public should be protected in a more secure way.
All right, let's take our first call. Paul, are you still there? I think I have all the right buttons pushed.
You're doing good.
Paul?
Am I talking to
him? All right. Well, maybe not. Hang on a sec.
Okay.
I want to check this and... Damn, it worked earlier. All right, well, we'll figure it out. I think I just hung up on Paul because there was something I was doing wrong. So call back, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me take a moment while we check on that. Market topography forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Windy and partly cloudy today, highs 35 to 40, mostly clear tonight, lows 20 to 25. Partly cloudy with a chance of snow tomorrow, highs 40 to 45. Clear in the valley and in Lynchburg where it's 32. Partly cloudy in Richmond and 33, partly cloudy in Charlottesville and 32.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
All right, we do want to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. Now featuring state-of-the-art travel gear from Eagle Creek. And if your travel gear is taking you somewhere warm, Blue Ridge has sandals from Teva and Reef, shorts from the North Face, and warm weather pants and shirts from the North Face and ex officio Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, and at BRMS.com. We also want to thank listeners like Susanna Spencer, Gene McCusker, and Ted Henneberry for their generous support during the fall fund drive. It's because of people like them, as well as program underwriters like the Music Store and Pet Forum, that you have the Wake Up Call every Sunday. So stay tuned, tell a friend, and get ready to support us during the upcoming spring fund drive beginning March 20th. All right. Done with that little bit of business. Not really sure why the phone's not working, because we did test it before the show started, correct? So I may end up having a stew punch people through. Caller?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness. See what kind of buttons. There's too many buttons on this machine. As Andy said earlier, it's too much technology for me. All right, what's your comment or question?
Okay, I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
And the comment is that in many cities in this country, just breathing the air is equivalent to smoking a couple of packs of cigarettes a day. And the question is that if in Japan they filter the air in their hospitals and they add oxygen in the operating room and in the recovery rooms to cut down on the spread of infection, why do not we place a, you know, there's a great deal that could be done with air filters. And I'm recommending them for people in their personal homes about the spread of disease and allowing your brain to function. The internal pollution of many buildings in this country is just beyond belief. So I'll end my tirade here and see if anyone is interested in continuing it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it very much. All right, Andy, you want to jump into that? Lisa, by the way, the caller was talking about how the bad air in many cities is the equivalent to smoking a couple packs of cigarettes.
Yeah. New York. Did he say New York?
I think, he brings an excellent point, I think, to the table. But I think it's more important probably to talk about, you know, what we can do about that. I think, you know, what you're really talking about is going after, heavy polluters. And that is something that we really do not do. I think we do it even less under the Bush administration. I'd love to hear somebody, you know, call in and talk about that.
But you are trying to politicize this, not beyond, well, like, the state of Virginia.
Well, I really, you know, you can't bring it to the national level at this point. You're talking about states like California, city of New York, District of Columbia. But I think there are lots of things, and we touched on this at the beginning of the hour. There are lots of things that cause pollution. There are lots of things that cause damage to us. And where do we say, you know, where do we draw the line and say that the public is informed, the public has a choice, and let's let the public make the choice. And now the caller was talking about something that's just in the air in general, and so it becomes a little bit more sticky, because then you are sort of, you know, living in a world where you can't avoid something. You can avoid restaurants and bars. I hope you don't. But you can avoid, you know, lots of places. You can't avoid the street.
Well, it seems like to me, and hang on, Carolyn's on the line. It seems like that to me, one of the caller's choice, if you want change to be made there, you need to make that change at the ballot. But with the current issue that we really have spent the hour focusing on so far, the change needs to be made with the budget and your dollar, where you choose to spend it. Voting in a new governor or a new representative may have some change down the road, but you're much more certain to have a quick effect if you stop spending all your money. You know, I had a friend tell me the other day that he has a friend who doesn't smoke, and what he loves to do is to go into places and say, I have a party of 12 coming, and you know, we'd like to be in about 15 minutes. Can you set up a table for us? And then say, oh, do you all smoke in here? Oh, you do? I'm sorry. We need to go somewhere else.
And that's beautiful.
And that's how he makes his point.
I mean, you know, folks, let's be very clear. This is not a you know, personal business owner thing going on. This isn't some sort of weird, you know, business restaurant, you know, pub conspiracy. You know, we sell products because people like to eat them. We sell, you know, liquor because people like to drink it. If everybody walked into any restaurant in town and said, you know, if even 51% of the people walked into a restaurant and said, I hate this, this is disgusting, the next day it would be non-smoking. That's how business works. You have to survive. And I wanted to bring up this point. Before the ban that just recently happened in D.C., there were nearly 200 bars and restaurants that decided on their own to ban smoking. And I think it's important for the listeners to ask themselves, why is that? Why would 200 bars decide for themselves? They don't need government intervention to tell them that we should ban smoking in our restaurant. They've made that choice. They do very well because of it. And those are market forces. We're a capitalist society.
All right, I got Carolyn on the line. Carolyn's from Charlotte. So, hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing pretty well so far, I think. How do you think we're doing?
Well, I have a question for you, Mr. Moore. It seemed like you are not a smoker.
I'm not.
And you stated that the two people went outside and smoked. You're employed, and so would it bother you yourself if they smoked?
If I were the employer and they were my employees?
No. You being yourself in your position, would it bother you if they smoked?
If they were smoking in the studio right now?
Right.
It would bother me physically. I used to work in a restaurant that was allowed smoking, and I don't know, it's probably been 10 years since I've gone on to another business and worked for them where there is no smoking.
Okay.
And I've discovered since that time that there are a variety of minor medical problems that I don't have anymore. My eyes don't bother me as much. I don't have nearly as much problem in the spring and the fall, you know, that sort of thing. And it wasn't too long ago that, you know, on a much more just basic level, I went out, a friend of mine after a day at work said, come on, you need a beer. Let's go. I'll buy you a beer. Went and had a beer, had to sit in the bar, got in my car the next day, and I was like, what is that smell? Whoa, God, it smells like smoking here. I realized that it was my jacket that I had on just sitting in that bar, and I'm like, oh, gosh. So having them smoke in the studio would bother me because I don't want to, you know, I'm here today because I need to be here today. I'm choosing to take this job of hosting this show, but they're my guests, and I'm asking that they don't smoke in my car, that they don't smoke in my house, and they don't smoke in my studio.
It is. It's a very controversial question, and I don't know whether it's government or what. I feel like if you do statistics, that you would find that more people that go to a bar to drink, they are more likely to smoke. And I like your point of eating French fries, because I think the report on the TV the other day was obesity is, it can be habit forming, it can be passed on to someone else. Who, I have a sister who is obese, but I don't find eating is habit forming to me.
Well, and I would say I have a serious problem with steak and cheese sandwiches, you know, but it's my own fault. You know, I don't need somebody to come in and tell me that I shouldn't eat them. I should do it myself. But, yeah, I think, you know, the caller, what you're saying here is if it did bother Rick, would he still come in and do his show? That's really what we're talking about. Do you know, would you still work here? Would you still do this?
Sure, I would.
Absolutely.
Because being here, I mean, if the station management allowed smoking in the studio, during my hour, I would probably request that you not smoke because I can barely speak and think and talk when there's nobody smoking in here. And if I had that to deal with, making me cough all the time as well. But, you know, you do what you enjoy despite whatever hurdles there are to clear. So I go out to have some beers. I went out last night to a place with some friends celebrating his birthday, and I dealt with it.
I think it should be more of an individual. It's like if you were sitting at a bar, if a bartender tells you you're drinking too much, if the person beside you tells you you are smoking too much, I think it should be an individual right and not a law or someone pressing a place to stop smoking. And it's like you just said a little while ago, where if they have smoking and you choose not to go there, then go somewhere else.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, 979-0919. I think someone was trying to dial the toll-free line. Dial us back, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 1-877-967-6762. We are talking about a potential ban on smoking in public places in the state of Virginia. It was shot down this year, but it got a little further than it did in 2005. I think most people would tell you that it's going to come back in 2007 for rediscussion. We have Andy McClure. Would you call yourself business owner, but restaurant and bar owner, restaurateur, and Lisa McCade, an area resident who does indeed smoke. While Stu gets the current incoming call, let me remind you that we are here today thanks to Five Guys Burgers and Fries, Seville Reader's Choice for Burgers, rated by Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries, behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, and coming soon to the Hollymead Town Center and the Downtown Mall here in Charlottesville. 975 Guys. All right, let's see what we got. Lewis. Hey, Lewis.
Hey.
Bring it on.
Rick, first, thanks for just keeping things stirred up every week on the radio. We appreciate it. My question kind of comes from another angle. You're talking about a bar owner can should be able to decide whether they want smoke in there. Should an employee be able to tell people, sorry, I'm not going to hire you, you smoke. We don't want to smell you in the office. We don't want you taking, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes a day, not working, standing outside, puffing on cigarettes. Should a government agency be able to say, you know, we're not going to hire you because you smoke, you increase our insurance rates, and we don't even want to have to pay for it. We can get a lot lower rate if we don't hire smokers. And I don't think you can do that right now, but how did the smokers feel about if we took it in the other direction and said, look, we're not going to hire you, and we don't want to work around you because you smoke?
Hey, Lewis, now who's stirring stuff up?
Well, I am.
And that's actually, it is already going on.
Hey.
As far as I know, a local police department, you cannot be a smoker. And it's at the point now, I'm pretty sure when they hire you, you can't be a smoker, and if you do smoke and they find out, I think there's a pretty big penalty. So I don't think that's something that's not going on.
Yeah, but as as the manager of a local business here in town, I'm not allowed to come out and say, sorry, I can't hire you because you smoke. I suppose that there are ways sort of around that. I can find other ways. I'm sorry, your availability schedule doesn't meet my availability schedule and things like that. But just like you can't hire or refuse to hire someone based on their what are my options here, Andy? I can't refuse on the religion, ethnicity, age, etc. I also can't do it based on whether they're a smoker or a non-smoker.
Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think discrimination laws include smoking. So I think for the most part, and particularly in Virginia, you do really have a right to decide for yourself what sort of person you want working for you, outside of equal opportunity employment laws. I would say that I personally don't think I have a problem with that. I think that what we're talking about here is making things very clear. You are making it very clear, for example, if you're going to hire a smoking employee, you need to make it very clear that they will not be allowed to have more breaks than what other employees get. You would make it very clear that you expect them to, for example, smell pleasant when they're around customers. There are things that you can do that define the job, just like we define our restaurants.
Well, let me ask you this question, Ralph, hang on, I realize I got another call waiting. If you give, just give me a number. How many minutes does your staff get to take as break time?
Well, the shifts.
I understand that it's. But just toss out a number. As a business owner, how many minutes would you give your 8 hour employees as break time? 20 minutes? 30 minutes?
In 8 hours?
Let's say they're a 9-hour employee. They have to show up at 8 and leave at 5.
We'll call it 45 minutes.
All right. So if they have to walk downstairs to get outside to take a smoke break, you know, are we counting the, you know, is it 45 minutes tight? And, you know, you leave at 12, you got to be back at 12:45, or if you decide to break up your time during the day, so you get to...
We aren't, you know, the answer to that is we're not ridiculously anal, and I think, you know...
But I think that's Lewis's point, is that if you are sitting next to my cubicle, and I don't get up to take these breaks, I'm working all the time, but you got to, you know, you slow down before you take your break. It takes you a little extra time to get started back up.
You're talking about productivity, though. You're talking about someone doing their job.
But productivity because of a habit that affects productivity.
If you cannot do your job, if you cannot produce as much as the non-smoker next to you, then why on earth should you be allowed to keep your job?
All right, let's talk to Ralph. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
I'm fine. I just comment on the hiring and employees who smoke. There are actually companies in the U.S. right now that are telling employees that they either quit smoking or they're going to lose their job, and they'll offer them help to quit smoking, but the ultimatum's been laid on the table for them. It's if you keep smoking, and, you know, that's it. You got to find another job. And, you know, it so far as passing legal muster, nobody's saying that they can't do that. And on another note, is being a business owner and having employees, you know, an 8-hour day, you're entitled by labor acts for a 30-minute lunch break, and that's pretty much all you should get through the course of the day. You shouldn't be able to sneak out for a cigarette break every, you know, half an hour. It's a waste of time and a waste of your resources.
Hey, Ralph, have you ever had to work with somebody who generally smokes a pack or more a day and who doesn't get to have a cigarette but between 12 and 12:30?
Oh, heck, I've employed people that smoked a pack of cigarettes a day, and, you know, they spend at least an hour through the whole course of the day going outside to do things that they say need to be done, but all it is an excuse to go outside for a cigarette.
Well, you know, you brought two issues to the table, really, and the first is changing company policy during someone's employment, and I think there's sort of a whole other show we could dedicate to that sort of practice, because that opens yourself up, or opens businesses up, and really the country up to all kinds of discrimination. All of a sudden you decide that you don't like this, and so you send out a memo saying if you wear a red scarf to work, you're fired. So I would have a problem with someone trying to change an employee's habits after they've already been employed. When they were hired, they took the job for a reason. The job was explained to them, and you know, it was very clear, and so on and so on. And now they're changing it. So that's a separate issue. But once again, I think, you know, caller, I understand your point. Well, you guys are talking about whether or not someone is doing their job. And really that's a manager's, it's a manager's responsibility to determine whether they want to keep an employee. And why would they keep an employee that was going outside every hour, not getting as much work done as somebody else? That's, you know, incompetence. Forget smoking. What if they go outside and they have a cheeseburger? It doesn't matter if they're going outside to smoke a cigarette. They're not doing their job. And this brings another point to the table. People are saying, you know, we're not going to hire you because you smoke. There are lots of other things that you could not hire someone for because it's dangerous, because it would increase insurance rates. Once again, we can go back to obesity and heart disease. There are all kinds of behaviors that you can try to control to limit financial responsibility, to limit, or increase productivity. And how far are we willing to go? How far are we willing to take this? You know, let's take it back to French fries. If we catch you eating French fries outside of this company, you are going to be fired, because that is bad for your heart. It is bad for your entire cardiovascular system. It is going to increase our insurance rates. You are going to get fat. We're going to have to pay for it. It's not worth our time. So how far are we willing to take this?
I'm going to Five Guys now after this chat.
I was going to comment on that, but I'd rather talk about the Virginian and West Maine.
Thanks, caller. 11:40 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about a potential ban of smoking in public with business owner Andy McClure and Lisa McCade. Lisa, I'm going to have a question for you right after this break. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, from WNRN's March Through the State to the Battle of the Highbrow NPR stations for local dominance, radio is big news these days. A fearless consumer plunges into a local plumber's bill, and my friend and station friend, Coy Barefoot, takes his radio talk show to the Hook's interview hot seat. The Hook, suggesting all smokers visit a WNRN underwriter to make their addictive purchases. And we also want to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. Blue Ridge Graphics, Mead Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. And don't forget, stay tuned, because at noon, you'll want to be here with George Bell for Les Timms Perdue. It's the best of 80s and 90s alternative. There's no Chaka Khan, Led Zeppelin, or Styx, but he will play Nirvana, Morrissey, and Dharma Bombs. And requests are always welcome. Les Timms Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN. All right, let me find all the buttons to push. By the way, you can dial up 979-0919. Lots of calls so far today. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. All right, Lisa, question for you. We touched at some point earlier in the program about your right to smoke, my right to where to choose to go. But that's one of the things I want to talk about balancing is, does your right to smoke in a public place mean that if I want to go to your favorite place because, you know, it's where you like to eat, it's where you like to hang out, mean that I can't go and my choice needs to be to stay home instead? You know, how do you balance it when our choices butt heads?
Well, I think if it was that extreme where your choice was to stay home or go out, then we would have a much more serious issue. But that's not the way it is. There's a lot of choices of where to go, where to eat, you know, where to be in public. And we talked earlier about public places like the DMV, of course, are non-smoking. But back to restaurants and bars, you have a choice. If you really want a burger at a certain restaurant and they have smoking, then I guess you don't go there. But I don't think my rights are more important, but I think that that restaurant has made a decision that there just needs to be respect for the business owner and the clientele that they have without the government being the one that tells them the way it's supposed to be. I just think it's the beginning of an endless amount of government behavior modification, basically. I mean, if you own a business and you want to have smokers or you don't, why shouldn't it be your choice? You know, people have their own businesses for a reason. I have my own business. It's small. I smoke at work. I've had people work with me. They know I smoke. They've selected to work in that environment. And I don't plan on quitting smoking. If I came across the best employee in the world and that made a difference to my business, I might. But it would be because I decided that, not because there was a lawsuit involved and someone that wanted a job with me wanted it so badly that the government had to tell me I couldn't smoke because I was invading their personal space. It's just, we need to have to be able to make these decisions for ourselves. You know, we're not little children that have to have the government telling us what's right and what's wrong. We know smoking is bad, so do it or don't do it. Go to a place where they're smoking or don't.
You know, while you bring up being treated as though we're little children, I ran into this while doing a little research, a comment that someone else had written, so I'll preface it with that. And it said, the freedom fighters see a great threat to democracy and private enterprise. The addicts see themselves being further ostracized. Parents see a threat to their children. No one is going to change their mind because of carefully crafted insults and personally constructed logic. That's why we need to press for a vote on this matter. We are allowing the tobacco lobby to dictate public health policy. We are allowing the addicts to wrap themselves in a flag and claiming we are infringing on their rights. We are allowing parents to treat us all as children who need to be told what to do and not to do.
He's sort of taking both sides there.
Well, and again, I thought that's why I thought it was interesting was, you know, this person is saying, you know, instead of the government deciding what to do, because I think the government often or doesn't always take the role of what the majority wants, and instead of letting... You know, I don't even know. I would assume that smokers are in the minority.
Certainly.
But business owners are a major part of everyday economics. That, you know, hey, let's take this to a vote like we do. Isn't this our society? Why don't we do it this way?
Well, that's the difference between going with, you know, federal laws and state laws and local laws. You know, if people here in Charlottesville really don't want smoking in restaurants, we have the opportunity to make those sort of policies on a local level. Once they're made at a state level and a federal level, it's very hard to turn things back, and people have to stop and think about that. You may be an anti-smoker, you may want every restaurant to be non-smoking, but there's going to come a day where something that you do may be the topic of the day. And, you know, excellent, is it hunting? Is it, you know...
That's how I get these topics, actually, is whatever's important to me.
I just think there's too much government interference.
I was going to say, you twice now, the issue of economics has been brought up. We haven't really gone into that much. And I think that every place that has, you know, every, you know, municipality that has banned smoking comes out with a study very soon after saying that restaurant sales are up and business is booming and, wow, we should have done this 20 years ago. And I don't have a problem with that. I think, you know, for example, if you ban smoking in every public place in the nation, everybody's on a level playing field. I mean, you can't go next door and do something differently than you would have done, you know, at your former place. However, you know, I think we often forget that there are businesses that would be affected. There are absolutely 10 to 15 or more businesses in Charlottesville that could be devastated. And those are those restaurants that have already chosen to go non-smoking. They no longer have a niche. There is no, you know, they chose to do that. They chose to be, you know, special in that way. And if we ban smoking in Virginia, in, you know, across the nation, those are the businesses that I think will suffer the most. You know, the Virginian, you know, West Main, you know, all the bars along the corner will all be on the same playing field. Everybody will still go there. I mean, you know, people like the food. People enjoy the, you know, atmosphere. But we oftentimes don't look at the big picture. And I think that's what people need to sit down and do. And I think, you know, that's what you were talking about is it's not really a smoking issue. And I think that's what we're trying to say here. Who cares whether we smoke? Who cares whether you smoke? We're talking about personal responsibility. We're talking about whether it's a right or a privilege to walk into a place. We're talking about this country as a whole.
You talk about the 11 playing field. By the way, dial up and make your comment. It is 11:49 here as we talk about the potential ban on public smoking. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Andy McClure and Lisa McCade here as the guest. The level playing field. I think one of the things that I was surprised to read about when I was getting my notes on the Virginia bill that was recently sent packing was that the author originally had it set so that any area locality, city, county, could make their own vote on the topic. And even though it was accepted by the Senate, he then rewrote it because what he realized was that was going to be a problem if Charlottesville said, no, you can't smoke, and Albemarle County said, yes, you can. And very similar, I think even as a state, you know, who's going to suffer, to me, would be the folks along the restaurant and tavern owners, bar owners, along the Virginia-North Carolina border. Who are, everybody's going to drive into North Carolina. Of course, now, you know, those places may make all their money up with DUI fees as everyone drives back home, but I found that to be interesting as well.
There was a study that came out recently that talked about that because, you know, as we all know, Virginia has not banned smoking, but D.C. has, and counties in Maryland have, and Maryland will probably go in the D.C. direction.
Although they recently overturned their potential statewide bill,
right,
as well.
That's true. That is true. But you've got Howard County, I think, Montgomery County, and I think a couple others right near, right in the D.C. metropolitan area that have banned it. And that is not a level playing field. I don't like that. I don't think that's fair because you do have borders where, you know, across the street you can have a place that's allowed to do something and you're not. But the study actually showed that, you know, restaurants and bars in Alexandria, Arlington, places like that were reaping the rewards from, you know, a D.C. smoking ban. Because, you know, you're still going to have people go out to restaurants in D.C., but the smokers, you know, the people that enjoy a cigarette after a meal or while they're drinking a beer, are going to try and seek out a place that they can do that in.
I'm curious as to what each of you think. And Andy, you may have followed this a little more closely than I did, this whole the bill. But my notes on it are that when the bill was out there, it was meant to be to ban smoking in, you know, we call them public places, but effectively, like you mentioned several times now, it's going to affect the restaurants and the bars more than anyone else. But they were going to allow tourism and hotels to opt out of this.
It's true. That's
now,
absolutely how it worked.
That doesn't seem like a level playing field.
And
why would that be?
Well, I think that, you know, you do get into sort of a sticky area when you talk about hotels, because you're talking about somebody's private room. You're not affecting somebody else. I think the most interesting thing about the D.C. bill was the hardship clause, which basically said that if you can prove that your business was negatively affected by the ban, you can appeal to the mayor, who can decide for himself whether to exclude you or to exempt you from the ban, which gives him an awful lot of power. It also is going to create, you know, a whole bunch of red tape and a very political process for this. It is not a level playing field at all.
And we don't even elect our mayor in Charlottesville.
Right. Is that right?
Yeah.
Unless that's changed. I know that it came up for discussion for change, but now that I live in the county, I'm not sure about that. But I know that for years, the five city council members decided who was going to be mayor.
Well, we should dedicate a show to that.
Well,
I think that what D.C. has done and the way the bill was created, it's probably going to be amended. In the long term, it's probably not going to work in the way that they created. I mean, cigar bars are excluded, hookah bars are excluded, businesses that get, I think, more than 10% of their revenue from smoking one way or another are excluded. So there are lots of exemptions, there are lots of sort of loopholes and things like that. That are going to be, it's going to be tough to enforce if somebody says that they get, 10% of their revenue from cigarettes.
Now, Lisa, you're a small business owner, you said.
Right.
And I guess the public doesn't come in there. It's more of your personal clients.
Exactly.
Andy, you've got obviously a space where almost anybody can walk in off the street to be a guest.
Absolutely.
So. And you each allow smoking.
I never brought this up. We don't allow cigars. We don't allow clothes, cigarettes.
And that's what my question was going to be, is what is the difference between allowing a cigar or a pipe or someone to sit down at the table and burn incense?
I'll tell you the difference.
burn incense.
Enough people. But that, bringing up incense is something I would love to talk about. But enough people walk into a restaurant and are bothered by a cigar or bothered by a clove cigarette, there's no question, particularly to people that smoke, because they generally know more about smoke. But a clove or a cigar or a pipe, it's much thicker. And even smokers can be sort of offended by that sort of smoke. So it's not a personal decision. It's not something that, I decided I don't like cigars. It's people walking up to restaurant owners, to bar owners, and saying, this is not something we like. This, I need to move because of this.
Lisa?
How do I feel about cigar smoke? Well, I'll tell you, my favorite restaurant in D.C., which I'm sure has now changed, is a place called Lazal. And it's one of the few places that I remember had the best part of the restaurant reserved for the smokers. And we would go there and have big, fat steaks and nice drinks and wine. And then after dinner, they would bring boxes of cigars that you could choose from. And I remember thinking that was so bizarre, because you don't see a lot of cigar smoking going on in restaurants, but it was something that they did, and it was packed every night. And that goes back to, that was that restaurant's choice. So, and cigar smoking in D.C. was very popular, at least for a while, but it goes back to the choice. If Andy doesn't want cigar smoking in his restaurant, people complain, that's fine. If he wants smoking in his restaurant because people want to smoke, then that's the way it should be.
Are we going to have like a final thoughts sort of period?
Well, we're going to, I don't know about that. Well, you look like you got something written down. I do want to thank 4-5 Fix for their support today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 4-5-Fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, Immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. I also need to let you know this is 91.9 WNRN Charlottesville and 89.9 WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg here, 11:56. As we are winding down the hour, and Andy's got me scared. I
don't have like a paragraph written. I just, you know, throw a couple things out there.
A page and a half, right? It's multiple paragraphs.
There are some quotes that I think are really interesting, but I don't think we have time to read them. I just want people to sort of take a step back from this issue. I don't think it is a smoker versus non-smoker issue. I think we're talking about personal responsibility. We're talking about liberty. We're talking about how much involvement you want your government to have in your life, in your own personal decisions. I think people need to figure out how far they're willing to go. Too often we have become, you know, or this country has become way too sensitive. We're relying on these agencies to decide what we should be able to listen to, or what should be on the air, what should we should be able to watch, or what we're allowed to watch. And we're taking all of the personal responsibility out of the equation. We're going to get to a point where everything is decided for us, where everything is controlled. And that's not what this country is based on. That's not why this country was founded. We were founded to be free. We were supposed to have freedom of press. There are all kinds of things that I think are associated with this smoking ban issue, and it's not just the fact that you don't like smoking. It doesn't matter whether you like smoking.
Lisa?
I completely agree with Andy. I think it's not just about smoking and not smoking. I think it really is about freedom and liberty, which sounds silly, but it's not at all. It's very, very important.
And slippery
people
slope.
People need to stop and think about what this means when the government makes decisions for us and we no longer have the choice. And choice is important in many, many realms. And this is an important one. It's a big one. I mean, especially in Virginia, where, you know, tobacco is a huge money maker, and there's just a lot of sides to it, and people need to stop and think about what it means to support something. It's the magnitude of telling people they cannot smoke in public anywhere anymore.
I think we should ban all people who have colds from going into restaurants. What do you think?
Well,
public health hazard, right?
Yes. It is, and that's going to be my final point, is that while I believe that it's unfortunate that others, like I watched that show, the others have allowed public health to control our lives more every day than probably needs to be the case, I still think you should all quit smoking.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.